Hello 3CI, my name is Andrew. For those of you who don't know me, I'm usually actually the other side of the camera, but today it is my incredible privilege to be this side, to open up the word for you a little bit and to just continue this incredible series that we're doing. We've been going through the letters of 1 and 2 Peter in a rockstar series. I'm not going to rehash too much of it, but there are two things that I just want to remind you of. That one, this was written by Simon Peter, a very simple man whose life was radically transformed by Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, this man that was transformed fell in the dark of night and then was restored at dawn. He wrote these letters. The second thing I want to remind you of, he's written these letters to people that are going through an incredibly tough situation. You might even say like a dark night of the soul. He's written it to them so that they could actually have hope and to remember who their God is, to remember the promises that they have, so that they can actually have a sure foundation that even the darkest of nights ends with a new dawn. Even the darkest of nights will be transformed as the sun rises and there is a transformation and a new hope. In preparing for this, I was reminded of a simple story. My father-in-law was in a car accident, so we thought we better get there. We went to visit them for the weekend just to check up on him, see how he was doing. And at 2 a.m., I was awoken by my daughter, my beautiful little girl, Eva. She was terrified. It wasn't this major problem. She was familiar with the house. She just needed to go to the toilet. And what was a simple thing, what she knows to do, what she's done time and time again, was a terrifying experience, because in the dark, we forget about things we knew in the light. We forget the way to go. We forget the way to actually get where we need to. So I was able to be the incredible hero that turned on a light switch. And then after she had done her business, she came back to the room and she couldn't get to sleep, because once the darkness had gone, once the fear had gone, she was filled with hope and expectation about what the new day was going to bring. Because she was excited about experiencing the joy of playing with her grandfather for the whole day. She just loves her grandfather. So in light of that, I just want you to remember that story as we go through the scripture. We're going through 2 Peter 1 from verse 12. So, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Part of this series we've been doing is we've been trying to teach you how to approach the Bible in a simple little plan of actually saying, how has God revealed Himself? What has He done in this passage of Scripture? And then how do we respond? So if we look at this, I see five different ways that God's revealed Himself. He says He's our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never forget that it's like we can gloss over that so quickly, but He's our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is actually a title for the Messiah. He's the anointed one who's come to actually change all of Israel's history, the one they've been longing for. He's the one, and He's our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have God the Father. We hear it time and time again in our church that we actually gloss over it, but the incredible thing is our God is our Father. He's revealed himself to us as our Father. He's not a power-hungry God. He's not like money. He's not something that wants to dominate over us. He's a loving Father that speaks over us. The third one is he comes and reveals himself to us as the majestic glory. The majestic glory. If you look in the Gospels, this is when there's the Mount of Transfiguration, and it talks about the cloud and Jesus, or the voice coming out of the cloud. So the majestic glory is actually talking about this cloud of the representation of the glory of God. And the majestic glory, you actually look into the Greek of that. The majestic is actually when you ascribe glory to something and it is befitting. This word majestic is mega befitting. It's mega befitting, the glory that is worthy of God. The fourth one is the morning star. It's where we get rock star from. The second part is actually that Jesus is revealed to us as the morning star. We know that that's actually Venus. It's not even a star, but is a reflection of the sun on the planet Venus. It is the last light to go out before the dawn comes. It is the last symbol of hope of a new day in the darkness of night. Lastly, we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the completely other spirit that is actually carrying us along. So what has he actually done for us? In this verse, we go back and we see that he has firmly established us. He has made things clear to Peter. He's firmly established us in the truth, and then he's made it clear to Peter that actually he doesn't have long left. So this is God that speaks to us. He makes things clear to us. He wants to communicate to us. The third thing, we have the power and coming of Jesus. He wasn't content to stay removed, but he actually involved himself in human history, wrote himself into the story so that he would be the hinge of history that everything turns on and transformed our very lives and the history that we know now. The fourth one, we've got God spoke a blessing over his son. He's the God who speaks. He's the God who speaks identity and affection and affirmation over his son. He says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." But we have a God who doesn't remain silent. We have a father that speaks to us and he watches over us. And the last one, we've got the Holy Spirit that carries us. He carries the prophets. Even in dark times, he carries them forward. So how do we respond to this? You would think we would have a long list of to-dos. So often we think of Christianity and approaching God as a long to-do list. But Peter's encouragement to us is to actually to remind us, to refresh our memories, to remember these things. Three things that are actually just saying, remember, remember, remember what God has done for you. Remember these things. Then he says, actually, that we need to follow something. We don't follow cleverly invented stories. We actually follow the truth. Lastly, he says, actually pay attention. It doesn't sound like a long list of to-do lists. It's actually, we just get to respond to our incredible Father that has remarkably transformed our very lives. So I want to just sum up these three paragraphs very simply with three little sections. And the first one is to actually remember these things. Remember these things. Now, these things has just a wealth of knowledge locked up in them. If you actually look at it, these things is everything that we have. All of our history. Last week, we had it summarized as the grace of God, the promises of God, the power of God, and the kingdom of God. We had this incredible frame, and in that we get to actually add to it. But I want to summarize it in a slightly different way. If we look at it, we remember who you are. Remember, like Simon Peter, we have an identity that has been transformed. We have a name that has been changed. We remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Peter is not just Peter. He says, "I'm Simon Peter, a servant of Christ Jesus, an apostle of Christ Jesus. We now belong to another. He belongs to Jesus Christ. And you belong to Jesus Christ if you are in him. Remember what you have been given. If we look at the incredible promises in the start of 2 Peter, he actually says, we have been given everything we need for life and godliness. What is locked up in everything? everything. We have been given everything we need. And then what have we been called to? We've been called to actually participate in the divine nature. It is almost too good to be true. We have been invited to participate in the nature of God, to actually experience what He is like, to become like Him. We've been invited in to participate in the divine nature, to escape the corruption of the world, and to then add to our faith. Like we heard last week, we're actually called to add to our faith goodness, and then to our goodness, knowledge, and to our knowledge, self-control, and to our self-control, perseverance, so that that perseverance and that self-control and that knowledge can overflow into actually godliness as we learn to participate in this divine nature. That overflows into brotherly love as we learn to actually love those around us and that are part of us, that are part of our family. And that doesn't stop there, because it overflows into agape love. That is self-sacrificial love that we actually overflow with. And this is not a to-do list, because it actually says, add this to your faith so that we would not be unproductive, but we would actually be productive in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That even our adding to our faith and growing in us, is it so that we can actually grow in and truly experience the love of Jesus Christ as it flows in and through us and transforms us and transforms us, and our very natures are transformed. The second thing is we follow. We do not follow cleverly invented stories. I don't know who you follow. On social media, you can follow lots of people. You can follow lots of things. Everybody has their story. Everything is selling you a story. Whether it's our politicians, our advertising, social media, all of history is selling us a story of what life is about and what life should be about. And you can summarize it in one way, that we are all longing for the kingdom, actually. We're longing for the kingdom of heaven. But we are longing for the kingdom without the king. In thinking about these cleverly invented stories, I think of the stories that we are entertained by. One of the stories that I'm entertained by the most, that I love, is actually the return of the king. The final conclusion in the Lord of the Rings saga, and it's like, there's an incredible picture of the king returning. It's summed up in the name, hopefully it's not too many spoilers, but it's summed up in actually the king will return and restore the kingdom, and he will bring unity to the people. And there's actually a prophecy in the books and in the movie that actually the king will return with healing in his hands. That's how we will be able to identify the king. But maybe big blockbusters is not your thing that you are entertained by. Maybe reality shows is what you enjoy. If you look at that, something like Undercover Boss, where the CEO humbles himself to identify with the lowly guys in his company. It's like, we are amazed at the humility that sometimes that shows. Maybe we're entertained by the chaos that ensues, but we are captivated by somebody that would lower themselves to actually identify with those that seem in a menial place. I wonder what story that reminds us of. Maybe of a king that humbles himself to identify with his people, to actually come and identify with us. Or other reality shows, whether it's Voorsoekervrou or The Bachelor or Bachelorette, anything that's looking for love, there is something inside of us that is longing for that fairy tale end. We long to be known and fully loved. We long to find that perfect someone that will make it all right. I want to say that that's even a picture of the gospel. The picture of a groom coming for his bride at the end of eternity is a picture of Jesus coming for his church that will be purified and spotless for him. Maybe those are too simple for you. Maybe you're a classic fiction expert. You love Dickens or Dostoevsky or Shakespeare or Rayburn, and you're looking to actually like enjoy between the lines, and you're learning to breathe between the lines. But I want to say, even in that, we've got a Bible that has 66 different books, that has poetry and prophecy and story and history and narrative that is captivating. And it's all pointing to one story. That's Jesus Christ. And that's the story that we actually get to follow. Maybe fiction is really not even your thing. Maybe you're a sportman. Like, a lot of us would say that, a lot of us identify with that. But I want to say, even in sport, there are stories locked up in it. In 2016, if you followed the Premier League and you weren't one of the guys that just missed out on it, you would have been captivated by the story of Leicester winning the league. The underdogs finally bringing down the heroes. Or like any of us that aren't All Blacks fans, celebrate when they are brought down a peg and actually lose a match. Because we love it when David comes out and destroys Goliath. We love it when some backwards carpenter from Nazareth brings down the Roman Empire. We love that story. And whether you believe it or not, I find it hard to believe that you would actually come up with a more compelling story than the one that we have in Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is that it's the true story. That Peter actually says that I was an eyewitness to what actually happened. As the majestic glory, the God the Father spoke over his Son and said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And when you look in the Gospels, when it tells of this event, it actually says, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." Listen to him. I want to say, listen to him. Follow Jesus. Follow the Father. Follow the truth. Be firmly established in the truth. We don't follow cleverly invented stories. This is not make-believe. This is the truth. And I know that we may be going through dark times at the moment, and it may seem this is a little bit far off and a little bit hard to appropriate for your situation. But I want to say, if you find your hope in this, it will be like the lights are being turned on. Because we follow this until. The last paragraph in this passage just talks about pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. Until the day dawns, and the morning star rises in your hearts. The stars from Genesis on have been something that God created for us to know the seasons. Travelers all through human history have found their direction off of the stars. And part of this Rockstar series is we inviting you to take your direction off of Jesus Christ. To actually find your direction off of Him until that morning star rises in your heart. Like I said, the morning star becomes a picture that gets attributed, or a title that gets given to Jesus, because it is the last star, the last remaining light. When all the other lights, all the other hopes have gone out, your business has gone out, the economy has gone out, you can't even get your kids back to school half the time, you don't know what the future holds, COVID has come in, we don't know where to go, but we still have one light that is shining. We have Jesus Christ, the morning star, that is promising the new dawn. So we hope in the morning star that rises in our heart, and hope rises in our hearts until the day dawns. Now, the day dawning is a picture of our eternal kingdom. That one day there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Peter talks about it in chapter 3 of this book, where he says, actually, there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and it will be the home of righteousness. He is making us a new home that one day we will get to. But until we get there, and while there's still a darkness in your life and in your situation, I want you to pay attention to a light shining in a darkness. And there's three different aspects of the light shining in the darkness. Here, Peter is talking about the words of the prophets. They were also writing in a time of confusion in the kingdom. They weren't sure what was coming, but the prophets wrote of the hope that was to come, that God was going to restore, that God was going to transform. And he said, you can actually trust them. And right now, we've got more than just the prophets, because it's talking about Scripture, that we can actually say that Scripture can become, like it says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. That it can actually light our way. That can show us the next step and the next step and the next step. Then I'm reminded of what Jesus says about us. In Matthew 5 verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. He talks about the people of God. So we first got the first light is Scripture speaking into the dark. Second, we've actually got the people of God that is speaking into the darkness, that is testifying that God can be trusted. I found an incredible way to just summarize this, it's the lyrics from a song by a man named Tom Walker. It says, "Leave a light on." And I don't know where he's at in his journey with God, but he wrote this incredible song for a friend that was really struggling with addiction. And I just want to read them to you. "If you look into the distance, there's a house upon the hill, guiding like a lighthouse to a place where you'll be safe, to feel our grace, because we've all made mistakes. If you've lost your way, I will leave a light on. I will leave a light on for you." And we've got a saying in 3CI that when you are in a dark place, when you don't know where to go, when you don't know where to turn, you run to the local church. You run to the people of God. You run to them because they are people that understand the grace of God. They have made mistakes too, and they will leave a light on for you to show the next step in your path. Lastly, it talks about Jesus. It says, "I will make him a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." Luke 2, verse 32. And the reason we can trust Jesus to be a light to the Gentiles and a light to us is because in Matthew 27, when he was on the cross, it says, "From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Because Jesus hung on the cross and he endured the darkness that came over him. He endured being forgotten and forsaken by God. We can always have hope that that morning star would arise in our hearts. There is always a morning star that will arise in your hearts until the day dawns, until the light shines in the darkness. I want you to be like Eva, my little girl. When 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't know where to go. You're stuck. You don't know what the next step is. You overcome with your fears. You cannot see the hope of tomorrow, but you cry out to your father and say, "Dad, help." I just want to remind you, it's like Peter writing to these people. He's writing to his friends. He's writing to his beloved, like children. And he's saying, "I want you to remember. Remember these things. Remember what God has done for you. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember what he's done for you. Remember what he's called you to. Remember that we get to follow him. We follow the truth until the day dawns and until the morning star rises in your hearts." That's our prayer for you. That no matter where you find yourself, no matter what the darkness, we pray that the morning star would rise in your hearts. Thank you.